What if you could cut the cost of manufacturing an electric vehicle battery by up to 50%, while also increasing its energy density by 20%? That's not a hypothetical. It's the reality of a new technology that industry giants like Tesla, CATL, and BYD are rolling out right now. And this week, we're asking what that means for every other company in the supply chain. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping U.S. and European industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are tracking three seismic shifts in the battery landscape. First, a manufacturing revolution led by dry electrode technology that is rewriting the economics of production. Second, a global grid storage installation soar by 40%. And finally, we'll look at the new materials and recycling breakthroughs that are building the supply chains of tomorrow. Troy, let's start with this manufacturing revolution. What exactly is dry electrode technology?
It's a fundamental change in how battery electrodes are made. For decades, the standard has been a wet process, where active materials are mixed into a chemical solvent slurry, coated onto foil, and then baked in massive, energy-intensive ovens.
So it's like making pancake batter, spreading it, and cooking it.
A very precise, very expensive pancake. The dry method, pioneered by companies like Maxwell Technologies, which Tesla acquired, skips the solvent and ovens entirely. It uses a powder-based process, which can cut manufacturing costs by up to 50% and boost energy density by 15 to 20% by allowing for thicker, denser electrodes.
And as we mentioned, the major players are already on this. Elon Musk reconfirmed just this month it's central to Tesla's 4680 cell strategy. But is this just a game for the giants?
Not at all. And this is critical for European industry. In Vrieden, Germany, Matthews Engineering just launched its MEODEO production line. It's a full-scale test facility designed to help companies transition from R&D to industrial-scale dry electrode manufacturing. It generates process data that is directly transferable to a commercial gigafactory.
Okay, so this is a direct threat to U.S. and European manufacturers still using the old, expensive wet process.
It's an existential threat. If your competitors are making better batteries for half the cost, you're out of the game. The opportunity is to partner with enablers like Matthews Engineering to rapidly adopt this technology. This also fundamentally changes the equipment you need, focusing on things like multi-role calendaring and precision particle size distribution, which is now a first-class variable for defect-free production.
And for Western trading companies and distributors, what's their angle?
It's a complete supply chain realignment. The demand for costly solvents like IDNP will plummet. Instead, the high-value items become specialized polymer binders, refined active material powders, and the advanced processing equipment itself. Sourcing partnerships need to be reevaluated immediately.
So, the actionable insight for executives this week.
Your manufacturing roadmap needs an urgent review. If dry electrode technology isn't on it, you are already behind. Assign a team to evaluate technology partners like Matthews Engineering and understand the capital expenditure required to retool. The cost of inaction is far greater.
From making the batteries to deploying them, an IEA report from May 29th shows the market is absolutely exploding. What are the headline numbers?
The numbers are record-breaking. In 2025, the world added 108 gigawatts of battery storage, a 40% increase from 2024. And the vast majority of this, about 87 gigawatts, was utility-scale projects.
And what does that look like in our key markets? Are the U.S. and Europe keeping pace?
The U.S. is a major driver. In the first quarter of 2026 alone, it added 1.1 gigawatts, bringing total operational capacity to nearly 15 gigawatts. Projections show that could hit 67 gigawatts by early 2027. The growth is concentrated, with Texas and California hosting about two-thirds of the nation's capacity.
You often see case studies from those states. Is the growth spreading?
Absolutely. Look at Arizona. It has around 3,900 megawatts operational now and is slated to add another 3,800 megawatts by 2026, bringing its total to over 7.7 gigawatts. Utilities like Arizona Public Service are aggressively pairing storage with the state's massive solar resources to ensure grid reliability after sunset.
This sounds like a dream scenario for any company manufacturing grid-scale systems.
It is a massive domestic opportunity for U.S. and European manufacturers of battery energy storage systems, or BESS, as well as inverters, transformers, and grid management software. But you have to understand the regional economics. For example, the PJM Interconnection, that's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, redesigned its regulation market in October 2025. By early 2026, it became the revenue leader, with batteries earning an average of $62 per kilowatt per month.
What should our trading and distribution listeners know?
The demand is shifting. AI is projected to nearly double data center electricity consumption by 2030, and they can't wait years for grid upgrades. A company called Exos just launched a 2.5 megawatt hour power hub that can be deployed in days, not years. This creates a new urgent customer category. Sourcing LFP-based systems, which are favored for safety and longevity in stationary storage, is key.
So the actionable insight is to focus on these high-growth regions and customer types.
Correct. Sales teams need to map the specific market drivers in ERCOT, CAISO, Arizona, and PJM. And product development should be targeting the acute power needs of new industries like AI data centers. They are a prime customer for rapid deployment, grid independent solutions.
Troy, we've covered how batteries are made and where they're being used. Let's talk about what's inside them. There's a big push to move beyond the current supply chain constraints.
That's right. The innovation is focused on two areas: finding cheaper, more abundant materials, and creating a circular economy to reuse what we've already mined.
Let's start with new materials. What's gaining traction?
Sodium-ion batteries are a leading contender, primarily for stationary storage. The breakthrough here is in the anode material. New research shows that hard carbon derived from bitumen, an abundant, low-cost byproduct of petroleum refining, can be an excellent anode.
Bitumen, as in the asphalt used for roads?
Precisely. In sodium-ion test cells, this bitumen-derived anode achieved a high capacity of 343 milliamp hours per gram. The key takeaway is the cost. It's dramatically cheaper than the highly processed spherical graphite used in most lithium-ion batteries today. This could make grid-scale storage significantly more affordable.
And the second trend you mentioned, the circular economy?
This is where it gets really interesting for established manufacturers. A recent study from the UK shows a process to upcycle spent lithium phosphate, or LFP, cathode material directly into a higher performance material called LMFP, or lithium manganese iron phosphate.
So you take a dead battery and make it better than it was when it was new?
Essentially, yes. The upcycled LMFP cathode delivered a higher voltage and maintained an exceptional 91.1% of its capacity after 500 deep cycles. This proves that recycling isn't just about recovering raw elements, it's about creating a direct path to next-generation materials.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It offers a strategic path to reducing reliance on volatile, foreign-controlled mineral supply chains. For European companies, building this capability is essential to comply with upcoming EU battery passport regulations, which will mandate recycled content. It turns a regulatory burden into a competitive advantage.
And for trading companies?
The game changes from simply trading refined metals to trading processed black mass, the shredded material from spent batteries. An entire secondary market is emerging. They need to develop the expertise and logistics to source, grade, and supply this new feedstock to manufacturers.
The final actionable insight for our executives?
Start treating battery waste as a strategic asset. Initiate pilot programs for upcycling, not just basic recycling. And for your R&D teams, investigate alternative materials like bitumen-derived hard carbon to get on the right side of the future cost curve for stationary storage and entry-level EVs.
Troy, that was a huge amount of intelligence to process. Can you boil it down for us? What are the three key strategic takeaways for executives this week?
First, the shift to dry electrode battery manufacturing is happening now, not in the future. U.S. and European firms must have a clear strategy to adopt this technology to compete on cost and performance with giants like Tesla and CATL. Waiting is not an option.
Second, the market for grid-scale battery storage is in a state of hypergrowth, particularly in the U.S. Sun Belt. This is a massive domestic sales opportunity, not just for utilities, but for new power-hungry customers like AI data centers who need solutions that bypass grid bottlenecks. And third, the future of the battery supply chain is circular and diverse. Forward-thinking companies are already investing in upcycling spent materials into next-gen products and exploring low-cost alternatives like sodium-ion with bitumen-based anodes. This is about building long-term resilience.
3 clear actions for a complex week. Troy, thank you for the analysis. That is our briefing for this week. To make sure you never miss an insight, subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. We help you see the future of your industry.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week to decode the critical technology developments shaping your competitive landscape.